There's nothing nicer if you're into performing arts than going to see a spectacular ballet. But if you're visually impaired, then you might think, well, I'm going to miss so much of this. And this is where audio description comes in. And our friend Vida Hjarding loves a live performance, but always utilises the audio description where he can, don't you?
Absolutely, Simon. Yeah, if I can possibly take advantage of AD, as it's known, or audio description, as you've said, then that, for me, more often than not, very much enhances my overall enjoyment of whether it's ballet or opera, drama, musical, whatever the performing art happens to be in question, then, yeah, it is the icing on the cake.
So you've been along to see Hobson's Choice, haven't you?
Indeed. Birmingham Royal Ballet, one of their recent productions at the Hippodrome in Birmingham, was Hobson's Choice, and that was the one that they audio described in this particular run. And there were, because I couldn't attend the actual performance that was audio described on the Saturday afternoon, the matinee, Jonathan Nash and Julia Grundy very kindly let me slip in on the Friday evening and tune into their dry run. And actually, I mention that because it just shows the dedication that people go to, professional audio describers. They don't just turn up on the day having seen a DVD of perhaps what's being described so they can craft their script around it. They actually come up and, wherever possible, do a dry run, so as if it were for real. So, you know, it's really sort of perfecting the art. And there isn't a touch tour, obviously, with a rehearsal, if you like, for audio description. It wasn't a rehearsal for the ballet. It was a proper Friday night performance. But for the audio description, it was a rehearsal. And and it was really interesting to listen. And actually, huge credit to them, because if I hadn't known that it was a dry run, I would have assumed it was the real thing, because it was polished, very smooth, very together. And I got a real sense of what was happening on the stage. Didn't know anything about it, don't know the music, don't really know the story. It's quite a quaint story as well. And it was very enjoyable. And again, if you know nothing about ballet, and I certainly regard myself as a layman, even though I've been to see a few audio-described ballets now, I'm still very much a layman. The way they do it, Jonathan and Julia, is that hopefully those of us like me who aren't experts in ballet, or those of us who perhaps are and have maybe studied ballet in the past or have done a lot with it over the years, they would find it equally accessible, and I think they hit the right note really well.
You can't put into words, can you, the way that audio describers do manage to craft? Because it's part of the performance, isn't it, for you?
It is, and it's, you know, it isn't something that they turn up to do and just, hey, you know, let's. It's not like a commentary. If you know, think of a football match commentary, that's a real skill. But obviously, you can't describe what you don't know what's going to happen. The match unfolds in front of you, and you have to describe whatever you see. With a performing art, 99.9 times out of 100, unless maybe the odd panto ad lib, you can and should be aware of what you're going to describe, and hence they can, as you say, Simon, craft the script, work on the right words, make sure it doesn't clash with the dialogue, with the lyrics, whatever it happens to be. And again, that is very much all part and parcel of the professional service.
Now, talk us through the mechanics for those that haven't been to an audio-described performance. How does it actually work in the theatre?
Okay, so obviously each venue is possibly slightly different, but the broad thrust is this. You turn up, either on your own, or if hopefully you've got friends and companions with you, and you may need to pick up your tickets at the box office, and when doing so, you can perhaps just ask about where do you pick up the headsets. And if you are pointed in the direction of, in the Hippodrome's case, the cloakroom, that's where they are picked up. Or very often, actually, if you're able to get to the touch tour, and I know that the volunteers at the Hippodrome who are there front of house as part of that touch tour experience, they will make sure that they have the headsets on hand so they can give them out and you don't have to queue or go to the cloakroom or wherever it might be. So they've got all of that. They also make a note of where you're sitting. So when you're sat in your seat, perhaps tuning into the pre-show notes, they'll come around and just check, you know, there's no problem with the voice level, with the battery in the headsets, whatever it may be, just to check that you're comfortable. Because sometimes, you know, there might be a glitch or the sound may not be working perfectly. So rather than you or one of your friends having to dash out to talk to somebody on the team front of house, they'll come to you and just check it's all in order.
And you tend to use the headphones only on one ear, don't you?
I do, but that's possibly something that I've been used to because of the day job. So I'm used to listening to something through one ear and listening to something else through another. And I find that that works quite well because you can enjoy the music in this case, or if it's a drama, you can enjoy what's being said on stage live in the auditorium rather than through the headset. And I use the headset exclusively for the commentary, the audio description, if you like. And I find for me that works very well, but that's very, very much a subjective or personal choice. So whatever is comfortable for the individual, go with it and make sure you enjoy it.
And there's touring companies around, and you'll have theatres in your own town probably. So, you know, it'd be great maybe this year over the summer to perhaps catch one of these performances, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. If you've not had a go and you're not sure it's for you, until you try, you'll never know. And it may well be that it isn't for you and it's not necessarily for everyone. But it's the old story. Unless you try something, you have no direct experience of what it may be like. So have a chat with your local theatre. See if they offer audio description. If they do, see what shows they've got coming up which are audio described. There's usually one performance in a week's run, possibly two in a much longer run, but one show will be audio described more often than not. And you can hear about how it works in terms of what time you need to be there. Is there a touch tour? And for those who don't know, a touch tour involves going on the stage, having a look at the set, costumes, some of the more unusual props, with members of the company and or the describers or people from the front of house team. And then you can normally listen to some pre-show notes, which are a little bit like listening or reading the program. And they will talk to you about who's playing which part and, you know, the cast and all that sort of thing. And sometimes give you a synopsis of the story too. So all of that just helps you ease into what will hopefully be an enjoyable and relaxing either afternoon or evening at the theatre.
And it's worth doing the pre-show notes, isn't it? Because you've got an idea then in your head, the gist of the story.
Absolutely. So if you're not familiar with a, let's say, a Shakespeare story or a play that's being performed by the RSC in Stratford, more often than not, the pre-show notes now include a synopsis of the play in question, which is really, really helpful. And the same goes for operas and ballets elsewhere. Depends to some extent on the audio describers, but it's usually part and parcel of what is included in that opening 15 minutes or so. So that's something to bear in mind on the timings. The show may start if it's a matinee at 2:30, but it's great if you can be in your seat by 2:15, ready to tune into your pre-show notes, and that leads you neatly into enjoying the matinee.
And a tip from Vidar is, of course, get your sweets and all that all open before it starts.
Absolutely. Yes, and I'm sure that actually many visually impaired patrons feel perhaps the same as I, and many other patrons in a wider sense do as well. You know, enjoy your ice creams, your popcorn, your sweets, but try not to crackle the paper when during the particularly quiet or poignant parts. But hey, that's only me being a bit sort of grumpy.
Oh, I don't think that's possible. Vidar Hjardings, always a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you for telling us about the ballet, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Simon. Nice to talk to you.